Once again, if we could take a moment to pray for each other, that I may speak the word Jesus was speaking of in the gospel, that it may be sown in your hearts, his word, not my words. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Anne,
pray for us.
We're going to have a little bit of a journey tonight. There are a lot of pieces to fit together. One is that we are praying today, Good Saint Anne, obtain for me a true devotion to Mary. Another is that we are offering a votive mass of the Sacred Heart. And another is from the Gospel, that the word that is being sown in our hearts may not fall on the hard path, or on the rocky ground, or among thorns, but that our hearts may be good soil and the word may yield 160 or 30-fold. In order to prepare you for the journey, Father recommended that I tell you a story. We have good stories as Catholics. And this is a little bit of a personal story. I'll give you just a very short outline of how the word was sown in my heart. As a college student, when I went away to college at 17 or 18, whenever it was, I was unbaptized. I was really a poster child of the Enlightenment. I believed in secular humanism and rationalism. I believed in the ultimate truth and all of the answers that science could provide. I was going away to college as a science major. I believed that I could deal with all of my own problems, and I considered Christians either too weak to deal with their problems or too stupid to understand science. That was the pride and arrogance in my heart. That was not instructed otherwise. I had never had a friend, had never had someone bear witness to Christ in my life for the first 18 years. When I came to college, there were at least some other of my peers that I became friends with, including a girl that I started dating, who were Catholic and went to Mass on Sunday, were also science majors and engineers, and also fairly independent and strong people. So it was already a witness to me. Ultimately, however, it was a year after I came to college that someone had the courage to come up to me randomly, a total stranger to him, guided only by the Holy Spirit in the gentle urgings of his heart to speak to me, and he invited me to a one-on-one Bible study. And so the seed of the word began to be sown in my heart, which I had thought I would resist a great deal, but it carried more compelling truth than I imagined that it could. And after a couple of years of studying the Bible with this man, hating it at various times because I had a real spirit of rebellion in my heart, and yet unwilling to break a commitment with him when I said I would get together with him for Bible study. I was never going to stand him up. We always met, and I always enjoyed, in spite of myself, I enjoyed studying the Word. Came to believe, especially we studied through the story of Abraham in Genesis, and then we moved on to the Gospel of John, and the first chapter of the Gospel of John struck my heart so deeply that at that point I decided I would believe in the truth of the Bible and I would go forward in becoming Christian. And it was natural for me, still dating the same girl at that point, to begin going to Mass on Sundays with her when I wanted to. I didn't know very much about Christianity, but I had figured out that Christians go to church on Sunday. It's an important thing. So when I started claiming to be Christian, I started going to church on Sunday, and it was the Catholic Mass at Penn State University. And the director of campus ministry at Penn State, a great priest by the name of Father Fred Byrne was a great preacher, a very compelling witness, and eventually I came to him and asked him to enter to start RCIA and to come into the church, and he was so enthusiastic when I told him my story. He said, "You've never been baptized?" I said, "No, Father, I've never been baptized." He said, "Oh, we're going to get you wet." And he did. On Easter, at the Easter Vigil 1997, I knelt in a pool of blessed water and he dumped three pitchers of blessed water over my head and baptized me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that same Father Fred then confirmed me as an adult at the Easter Vigil and gave me my first Holy Communion. A couple weeks later, he heard my first confession. A year later, I joined his monastery, and I became his confrère. A few years later, I was ordained a priest, and he received my first blessing in the sacristy, the first one to receive it other than the abbot and the bishop, who receive it right there in the sanctuary of the church immediately after the ordination. He was the first to receive it in the sacristy after Mass. And a couple years after that, I had the chance to go to Rome with him, my first time in Rome. And the first Mass I celebrated in St. Peter's Basilica was in front of an altar that looked very much like this window. A massive, actually even much larger than this window, a massive mosaic of the gift of the Sacred Heart given by Jesus to St. Margaret Mary. So that's a little outline of my story, bringing us back to the Sacred Heart, which is where I would like to launch out from here. The Sacred Heart, a gift of the Lord to us, a precious, precious gift of the Lord to us, and we should beg the Lord to have hearts like His Sacred Heart. When He speaks to us in the Gospel of a heart that is good soil, that bears fruit 160 and 30-fold, He is speaking of a heart like His own Sacred Heart. And we cannot speak of the Sacred Heart too long before it brings us to the Immaculate Heart, because, you see, before the Sacred Heart existed, there was already the Immaculate Heart. And the Sacred Heart was formed very near to the Immaculate Heart, and in the Litany of the Sacred Heart, we have the profession, "Sacred Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary." And so a meditation on the Sacred Heart brings us very, very quickly into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And of course we know that the Immaculate Heart and the womb of the Virgin Mary were formed in the womb of St. Anne, which brings us right back to our novena. It's a precious circle. But tying all of this together is a very important truth that I think has been very much dispersed in our society. It's a very important truth about this precious word that has been overused and badly used and misused, the word friend. A friend. Jesus has defined what it means to be a true friend in the Gospel. In the very midst of His Last Supper, maybe a little bit like we are doing here, somewhere between the proclamation of the Word and Holy Communion, Jesus taught His disciples about the meaning of friendship. And He said that there are three important qualities to friendship. He said to them, "No greater love is there than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." And so true friendship involves total self-sacrifice. True friendship involves total self-sacrifice. "No greater love is there than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." The second quality, He then immediately after that says, "You are truly my friends if you do what I command you, says the Lord." And we hear in that that a friend shares one will with his friend. And that is in fact the ancient Greek philosopher's definition of friendship: to will what the friend wills. In other words, to choose what the friend chooses, to not choose what the friend does not choose, or to hate what the friend hates. A union of wills to have, we might say, one heart. Friends have one heart. They share one will. And the third quality, he says right after that, I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I call you friends, because I have shared everything with you that I have received from my Father. Precious. He has shared everything with us that he has received from the Father. That is to say, truly everything. So we witness Jesus' extension of friendship to us already in his total self-sacrifice for us on the cross, in the gift of not just the old law, which we heard in the first reading, the Ten Commandments, but the new law, a new commandment I give you, love one another, not even to love your neighbor as yourself, but love one another as I have loved you. And to love as he loves is to truly have one will with him. He has shared with us a new commandment, as I have loved you, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He has shared with us everything that he has received from the Father. So Jesus extends to us true friendship, total self-sacrifice to be of one will and to share everything that we have received. So I can make a quick reference to my friendship with Father Fred, who made tremendous sacrifices for me, who gave everything to me that he himself had received, and who has shared everything with me from his heart, as I have also done from him. There is nothing kept from between us. We share heart to heart. It is a precious gift, a true friendship. If we go back to the gospel, we can see again these three dimensions of friendship, and we can see that these three qualities of friendship will make our hearts truly fruitful for receiving the seed of the word, because the three things that are missing on the path where the seed is plucked away by the sparrows, on the rocky ground where it is not able to take root, and on the thorns where it is choked out, we see that one of those in each thing, one dimension of friendship is missing. Jesus says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. This is the friend who has not received everything that was given. It was not understood. It was not fully received because it was also not fully given. The heart was not open for it. On the rocky ground is the one who receives it with joy, yet a person has no root. When trouble or persecution arises, the person immediately falls away. This is a friendship when the person is not willing to take the step of self-sacrifice. No greater love is there than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. A friend who is not willing to sacrifice himself will not receive the word in the heart. It will fall on rocky ground, shoot up for a moment, but it doesn't have any staying power. There's no root. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, receives all that is given, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. This is the friend who does not will what the friend wills. You are my friend if you do what I command you. It's one thing to know the gospel, it's another thing to do the gospel. We must have both. We must receive all that the Lord has shared with us, and we must then carry out his will by loving one another as he has loved us, or else it will fall on the path or among thorns or on rocky ground. When one of those dimensions of friendship is missing, then also the word will not find root and will not bear fruit in our hearts. When our hearts are ripe for friendship, then the word bears root. So now we have friendship, and we have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but now we have to go into the prayer of this particular day of the Novena, and this is where I will share with you also the secret of my own devotion to Mary and one of the secrets of my own heart. The secret to learning friendship is to find a home in the same place where the Sacred Heart was formed, in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Her womb is the place where we learn true friendship. We can reflect on a baby in the womb. It is such a precious thing. A baby in a womb, a womb is like a total embrace. Can we imagine being hugged so tightly by the Blessed Mother that there ends up being no space between her and us, but we are completely enveloped in her, completely within her, even in her womb? That is how a baby in the womb is, a total embrace of a life. Two lives, in a certain sense, in one body. Beautiful. And in the womb of the Virgin Mary, in the womb of a mother, the baby only ever receives what the mother receives. Right? There is no way into the womb except through the mother. And so we know that, and we have all of these nice health regulations now, right? It's on every bit of medication and alcohol and tobacco and everything else. Not for pregnant women, not for pregnant women. Mothers who love their children receive only what is good for their children, and so they are sensitive about not receiving, not getting drunk, not smoking too much, not taking medications which will harm their baby. There's a love because everything that the baby receives comes through the mother. What a sweet thing for us to receive everything from the Virgin Mary, to receive everything through her. And there's a very important truth in that that will help us in our spiritual lives. If we receive everything from Our Lady, we first of all know that everything that we receive is good. And this is very important for us because we don't always feel that way. Sometimes life is very hard and it deals trials to us. We spoke a great deal about this last night and a couple nights previous in the novena. Some things are hard for us. But remember, anxiety is turned into excitement when we are certain that the outcome is good. And when we know that we are in the womb of the Virgin Mary, we know that she is receiving only what is good for us, and even though there might be an immediate discomfort, like maybe she ate a jalapeno or something, we know that ultimately is good for us, or she wouldn't have eaten it to begin with. We know that we are receiving what is good. So it gives us courage and hope to know that we are in the womb of the Virgin Mary. There's also a very important truth. If we are receiving something, we know that she has already received it. And that's so important because especially in our suffering, suffering is isolating. It's one of the hardest things about suffering. It's one of the hardest things about pain. Nobody feels our pain in a certain sense because our pain is unique to us. We can't compare levels of pain, really, except with our own experience. We don't know what someone else feels exactly. We might feel something similar. But we know in this case that anything that we experience, Our Lady has already experienced. She really knows our pain. Our Mother of Sorrows has suffered every sorrow that we suffer. We can be certain of it. And furthermore, she digested it before we suffered it. It was harder for her than it is for us. We can be certain of this if we are in the womb of the Virgin Mary. There's also a little help being in the womb. It turns out that babies in the womb, they know this from sonograms, babies in the womb, when they have a little bit of nervousness, the only way that they can hold on, it's so funny, they're so embraced by the mother, they can't hold on to her anyway, because they're in her. In order to hold on to her, they'll hold on to the umbilical cord. And they do this. You can see it on sonograms. The baby will hold the umbilical cord for comfort. And there's even a cute thing, sometimes it'll squeeze it, which cuts off the oxygen. And then it'll let go and get a little rush. I like to think of that as the baby giving a gift to the mother. The mother gives everything to the baby, and the baby wants to give a little bit back. Here, mother, I won't take anything from you for a moment. And then, of course, in that act of generous self-sacrifice, the baby receives even more, a little rush afterward. It's very nice. For us, the umbilical cord is the rosary. We have beads. Umbilical cords even have little lumps, I think. We have beads to hold on to. It's a way of holding on to our mother, holding on to the umbilical cord, holding on to the source of life for us, the source of her love, the flow from her immaculate heart into us. We can find comfort there. Now, it's important to realize that in the womb of Mary, it can get a little cramped. Wombs get a little cramped. It's part of the nature of wombs, because we're not meant to live there forever. And now, I have to admit at this point, I'm not making all of this up. St. Augustine, 1600 years ago, already made this realization. He said that every Christian is in the womb of the Virgin Mary until we are born into eternal life. And so if it is getting cramped for us, it means that eternal life is near, which may mean death for us in the human sense and eternal life in God in heaven. It may also mean an entrance into the unitive way, into transforming union where there is no separation between God and us. But if it's getting cramped, that's not a bad sign. If we're starting to hurt, if they're suffering, it's not a bad sign. It's a sign that we are growing in the womb and it's getting a little cramped. And furthermore, it's very dark in the womb. So if we're having a little bit of darkness in prayer, if we don't have some of the consolations that we used to have, if we don't have some of the images and internal visions and reassurances that we used to get, maybe because we are in the womb and it's a little dark in there. But now I want to bring it all back together again. If we are living in the womb of the Virgin Mary, we are living out these three qualities of friendship. There's a total self-sacrifice. The mother gives everything for the child, and the child everything for the mother. They live really one life. Likewise, there is a union of wills, because the child doesn't go anywhere except where the mother takes him. The child can't wander outside of the womb. That would be a little weird. The child goes only where the mother takes him. There's a union of wills, a total obedience. You are my friends if you do what I command you, says the Lord. And furthermore, you are my friends because I have shared everything with you, as the mother has shared everything with the child, and the child shares its whole life with the mother. The being in the womb of Mary forms us, just as the Sacred Heart of Jesus was formed in the womb, so we are formed in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this is true devotion. St. Louis de Montfort, who formed total consecration to Our Lady, and Pope John Paul, who had this as his motto, Totus Tuus, totally yours, referring to Our Lady, from the de Montfort consecration. St. Louis de Montfort was the one who quoted from St. Augustine, saying that total consecration to Our Lady means to be in her womb. So she invites us to take a place, to take a total surrender, a littleness in her womb. And just to finish with two short stories to show you the way that a mother totally sacrifices for a baby in the womb, and a baby in the womb also totally sacrifices for a mother. First, the latter. Some friends of mine, a beautiful family, they have 11 children. They had 9 of their own children, and they adopted 2 children with Down syndrome. And beautiful, the most obedient, loving, joyful, affectionate, happy children I have ever known. Beautiful. And the 2 with Down syndrome excelling all that anyone ever predicted. Oh, they'll never speak, they'll never function well, they'll never... Oh, well, they're immersed in love. They're just doing fantastic. But this mother wanted very much, I think after her 8th baby, wanted to have another baby and conceived, and then found out that she had a very dangerous tumor growing in her womb along with the baby growing in her womb. And the doctors were very nervous what to do about this. They wanted to do chemotherapy, but she knew that at this point in the pregnancy, it would certainly kill the child. So she waited and waited a little longer. And the doctors were really pushing her, and they said, you're going to die. And she said, I'm not going to kill my child. And then she ended up having a miscarriage. And when the baby was flushed from the womb, the tumor was also flushed from the womb. Her little baby was a martyr for her. Very beautiful. She prays to that baby in heaven. That baby is the life of an immortal soul. Now, a very quick follow-up to that story. The doctors then spoke to her and her husband after they examined her, and they said, now, what kind of contraception would you like to use? And they said, excuse me? We are Catholics. We're not using contraception. It's a grave moral evil. And the doctor said, if you conceive again, your life is in danger. You will almost certainly die if you have another baby in the next year. What kind of contraception would you like? And the husband said, I resent what you are saying. Do you think that I am an animal? That I would endanger my wife's life in order to abstain? I will abstain because I love my wife. Now the reverse. A few years ago, actually on the day after my ordination to the priesthood, there was a woman who was canonized. Her name was Saint Gianna Mola. She was a physician and a mother in Italy. And she had conceived a child, and in the second month, she had developed a condition in her womb that the doctor said, you need surgery. And she had the surgery, but she insisted that they not threaten the child in any way in the surgery, that she would rather give her own life than to have the child threatened. And they did the surgery, and it was successful, and then she carried the child to birth. And her biography reads, a few days before the child was due, trusting always in providence, she was ready to give her life in order to save that of her child. If you must decide between me and the child, do not hesitate. Choose the child. I insist on it. Save him. On the morning of April 21st, 1962, Gianna Emanuela was born. Despite all efforts and treatment to save both of them, on the morning of April 28, amid unspeakable pain, and after repeated exclamations of, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, the mother died. She was 39 years old. Her funeral was an occasion of profound grief, faith, and prayer. When speaking of her, Pope Paul VI recognized her conscious decision to give everything for her child. And he recognized that she had decided to give her life to her daughter. To give life to her daughter, she sacrificed her own with conscious immolation. So if we are to be formed in friendship, we need total self-sacrifice, a union of wills, and sharing everything that we have received forms true friendship. We can do this in the same way that Jesus forms true friendship. Ultimately, he wants hearts formed after his own heart, and his heart, Sacred Heart of Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, our hearts will be formed in the same way if we consecrate ourselves to her in true devotion, allowing ourselves to live in the womb of the Virgin Mary, entrusting, receiving everything from her, allowing her to take us wherever she wants to take us, and offering our lives for her life, even as she offers her life and her Son, especially in this Holy Eucharist, for each of us.